Welcome to another broadcast of the Usual Suspects. Now, Steve, introduce who we are honored to have talking with us today.
With us is Danielle Legere from San Francisco, California. She works with Compass. And Danielle came to us, was it 4 years ago? 3 years ago?
Probably four.
4 years ago. And I'll probably piss a lot of people off by saying this. However, more than anyone else, she has embraced this methodology. She is out there on the edge every day, being as fearless as she can with the information and really pioneering emotional intelligence and tactical empathy in the world of real estate, in the field every single day. And so it's always great for me. What about this, Danielle? What about that? Let's see how that lands. Let's see how that works. And she is really trying to get out on the edge and not hold anything back. And so any concept that you introduce, she embraces it. She doesn't question it and instead tries to figure out what's the best way to implement it.
How did you get to be so fearless, Danielle? Because this is scary stuff. Is it that superpower necklace that you have on? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm laughing because I think I do probably question things and give Steve a hard time. And I fight my own inner fears and my own human nature. I shouldn't say fight. I am learning to live with my human nature, and there's a fearlessness inside me that is very core. And then there's also the nervousness and the worry and the fret and the what if and the scarcity. And so there is that inner tension at times, but my commitment is to let my inner strength shine.
Sweet, that's cool. That's kind of a commitment to you.
I think this is an important point because there is that inner conflict, that goes on inside Danielle. It's not like, oh yeah, no problem. I'll do that. She does battle internally. However, she's made a commitment. She's willing to feel the fear and do it anyway. And I think that's really critical.
Danielle, how long you been with Compass?
4.5 years. I've been in real estate 19 years.
All right. So, first of all, if you're with Compass, you're a top producer to begin with. I mean, Compass started their business model was to go after the top producers, bring them in under their roof. So 4.5 years with Compass, about 4 issues with Steve in the real estate business for 19 years. She did this for 15 years and still went back and rethought your approach as a result of Steve Shull, of all people.
I wouldn't say it's rethink. This approach really works for me because it brings out who I really am. And it's actually how I started in the business is much more aligned with our model of being, so transparent and honest, and direct with folks. When I was first in the business, I was a lot like that. And it was because I didn't know that there was anything wrong with being that way. And it was the sales training that kind of beats it out of you and looking at other people and seeing how, the other agents in the business do it and getting a little sophomoric. And that led to burnout
Wow.
and being at the top of my game for sure. However, just feeling like I wanted something more and I wanted more intellectual stimulation with this. And when I heard you and Steve talk, it was either 3 or 4 years ago, I don't remember, in LA, when you went through your book chapter, it just, I hadn't even read the book yet at that time. It just sort of hit me that this is the way of communicating that is very natural to me. And these are tactical tools that help me get better at it and give me kind of the empowerment to get better at it and get rid of all of that other nonsense that gets put on top of you in our culture.
Yeah, or in, you know, there's a lot of sales training out there that's bad, right? And it's interesting that it sort of brought you home to being authentic and being honest and being decent with people and not having to hustle them or push them or con them.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm going for that's right. Could you tell?
Yep, right. I could tell.
So what's happened to like your mindset, like getting back to the old you? What's happened to your mindset, your feeling about your life, what you're doing for a living, everything?
You know, it's giving me a lot of freedom, and it's giving me a lot of freedom and space to enjoy my work more and enjoy my life more. I love what I do. And when I work with people who see me as their trusted advisor, the results that we pull off are phenomenal for them. And the process is really fun for me. I love putting the deal together, and that's a lot of fun. And by embracing tactical empathy, I'm really focusing my time on those people and not the other people. And so I have more left for my family and myself, and I therefore like bring more of myself to the clients, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's no longer blood money, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, that, you
every
know,
year, there's blood money. Up until last year, every year there has been one or two or three out of anywhere from 50 to 100 blood money sales.
Yeah.
Talk about the 80-20 principle. Consumes a lot of space.
Up until last year?
Yeah. I realized at the end of last year that I like looked at my husband and I was like, I didn't have anyone that was really negative as one of my clients this year. And it was pretty amazing. Even during 2020, which was a hard year for a lot of us. So it wasn't like negative things weren't going on. It was more like I was attracting and aligned with the people I was working with.
Wow. Okay. And what would you attribute that to principally? Because I suspect I know, but I don't want to put any words in your mouth.
Well, it all comes down to favorite or fool.
That's when we really, about a year and a half ago, that's when we really started pushing that out a lot harder to everybody that we were coaching, roughly. Wasn't it, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah, and well, and you're one of the people that fully embraced it and sort of probably to summarize, paraphrase, and you also paid attention. I mean, you're keeping track of what's going on. And what I heard basically was you turn away 80% of the people that were playing you for a fool. You worked 20% as much and you made the same amount of money, which is pretty good. Increase in your hourly rate, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. That is
And you were happier. That's to me, that's the biggest thing that jumps out. Like I get such satisfaction when people talk about being happier and then making more money, which is what happens as a secondary gain, but it's a secondary benefit to actually being happier.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're I mean, it sounds so cliched, but when you're in a better space, you do better work.
Right.
And so right. that and it really is like a win-win all across the board.
Yeah. And it's a virtuous spiral, because I definitely think there's some, you know, you talked about attracting clients. I think as soon as you start putting out this vibe, you know, there's all this thing about energy in the universe and attracting what you are. I think that more people that you want to work with are attracted to you consequently. And I think that that is in fact what's happening.
Yeah. And you know, when you, when you kind of mess with the cosmos a little bit,
yeah.
You know, is it crazy to think that there might be a period of time during that big bang, and I'm mixing metaphors, where things are a little jumbled.
Right.
That is the path that I see happening and unfolding.
So things were a little jumbled. There was a big bang, a little bit of chaos, and then it just starts to work.
Yeah. And I think I'm still in that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Let me add this, and this is real life. This is no BS. One of Danielle's big things in the beginning, she wanted to be able to work 4 days a week, 4 hours a day, and make the same amount of money she was making. That was her focus. And, you know, could that be possible? Especially in a business where everyone's working 24/7 all the time. And it was probably about 6 months ago, she sheepishly was talking to me, you know, if I have nothing to do during the day, isn't it okay if I just watch Netflix? Is there anything wrong with that? and I mean that literally. I mean, she went from, I've got too much to do, to, if I don't have anything to do, is it okay to just do nothing? And that's real. That's real. When you cut out all the nonsense, and you know, one of the things you say, Chris, that I just love, it's not a sin to lose business. It's a sin to take a long time losing business.
Right.
And what agents are so guilty of is chasing after business they're never going to get. And what Danielle is doing best is, like, she is eliminating all the people who are going to waste her time. And she's fortunate in the way she's grown her business. She gets a lot of inquiries from people who don't know her. She's got a big online presence. So she gets a lot of calls because people go online, they read about her, and they have all their reviews, and online, like, yeah, we want to talk to her. They have no intention of doing business with her. However, they want to talk to her. And so, you know, most agents, when they get that phone call, you know, would you come over and talk to us about selling our home? They're on the excitement plan. Yeah, can't wait. Let's go do 3 hours of prep work. Let's go on a, you know, 2 to 3 hour appointment. And then at the end of the appointment, they say to, you know, the seller says, thank you very much. You've given us so much to think about. We'll get back to you. And then it's 2 weeks of torture as you're waiting by the phone for that phone call that's never going to come. And the next thing you know, there it is on the MLS at your price and your photos and all that nonsense. She's cut that out almost entirely.
And it's a new world, huh?
I mean, it's true. You know, it's the spring market, so there's not a lot of Netflix in the middle of the day right now, to be fair. however, and it's a crazy market right now. But the reality is that most of us are not that focused and on when we're working all the time. And this, you know, it was something I've been thinking about for years, is like efficiency and productivity. And that when I'm focused, I get a lot done and I do really great work. And that doesn't actually need to be for a 12-hour period of time. And in fact, it gets worse. There's diminishing returns.
Right.
And so this is really just like cutting that out and focusing on when I'm the favorite, when I'm the trusted advisor, and doing that work and prioritizing that actually leaves a lot of time for myself and for my family and for Netflix to clear the cobwebs.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I get some coaching myself from an outfit called Strategic Coach. And one of the first, and Brandon, my son, you know, who's running my company, does too. And one of the first concepts that they want to get us to embrace is taking more time off.
Right.
Because then your time on is much better. And you start to look for this around you. I mean, Warren Buffett is famous for saying, like, 5 hours a day don't bother me because I'm reading. You know, you don't become Warren Buffett by working 24/7. You become Warren Buffett by taking time off to sharpen the axe, sharpen the saw, and do that much better. And you know, I've never had a conversation with him, but I get the impression he's a pretty happy dude on top of everything else. You know, he's not the poster child for unhappiness.
Certainly well read.
Yeah, sharpening the saw, you know, not working in that time period. Finding a way to retool.
The Oracle of Omaha, you know, when you want to be the Oracle, and isn't the Oracle the character in the Matrix?
Yes, indeed. Yes, the Oracle. Yep.
I've been meaning to add this to my queue to stay on the Netflix theme, because I have been over the last probably year and a half, I've had more than one person comment to me that I'm reminding them of the Oracle in the Matrix. And so now I need to go and watch it so I know remind myself what they're talking about. But if you're going to be the Oracle, that means you do have to step back. You have to be able to see the big picture. And that's how you're going to help people make the best decisions too.
Yeah. And so if they're referring you to you as the Oracle, you're coaching up people that work for you to embrace this as well.
I'm practicing all the time. And I'm leading a group of agents who want to practice too. And then my own team as well. And we, you know, we started with like a book club with my team, or I had read the book a few times and the audio and been coaching with Steve and listening to you. And then I did my own kind of worked them through chapter by chapter with my own sales team.
Wow.
So yes, I'm spreading your gospel as much as I can.
Well, you know, and what's cool about that is you like helping people get better. I mean, you're not somebody that has to get ahead at the expense of others.
And actually, one of the people like I'm working with is one of my main competitors. And I really have to believe in this favorite or fool concept to be okay with that.
Yeah. You
know, she's a friend, but she's a top agent. And we get a lot of the same calls.
Wow.
How do you wrap your head around that one?
Yeah, and that actually is a great recognition of the idea, because there are going to be times when she's the favorite and there's going to be times when you're the favorite. So it's not at your expense for her to close the business she was going to close anyway.
Right, right. And the way I see it is, you say this a lot, that you really think that, you know, a good agent is worth more than their fee.
Oh, you guys are a bargain.
And maybe not every agent, but the ones that really are worth it are worth even more. And right. So I love real estate agents, and I have a lot of fun with other agents, and I'm really passionate about it. And I find it enjoyable. Like I think that people give themselves such a hard time and they burn out and they overwork, and it doesn't produce the best results either for them or the clients. And so it is very rewarding to spread the gospel and help people have better lives. And when they come back and they talk about this freedom that they're starting to feel, I also know that they're getting to be better negotiators too. And so that's improving our whole industry, just in my own small way.
Right, yeah. getting you guys away from, the cliche view, the unfair right. view is that agents shove people into stuff and they don't care about their clients.
Right. Exactly.
And if that's not you, I think that's probably what makes the profession unpleasant, if other people are teaching you that and it goes against your core values.
Yeah. And when you have to deal with those people. And so it's like the cream is rising to the top, I think, through this emotional intelligence. And that I would predict is only going to increase as technology continues to march forward.
Right. Right. Yeah. We get the question all the time. What happens if there's a black swan trade negotiator using a black swan method on the other side of the table? And our answer is great. It means you're both going to get a better deal. You should hope for that. And inevitably it's going to happen anyway. So embrace it. It's better. Everybody, it's about better collaboration.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Awesome. Steve, what other high points do we need to hear? I mean, Danielle's been very generous so far, and I love what she said. I mean, it's really encapsulated what I was hoping we could get across and helping people understand. It's about everybody getting better. A positive sum game.
I think what's fascinating, and Danielle can speak to this, is the journey itself. In the beginning, like one of the points in the beginning that you brought up, you know, big challenge, not going on a listing appointment without a commitment that they're going to list, which is unheard of in real estate, because every seller expects the agent will come out to the house, you know, look at the house, give their whole presentation, and then let them decide what they want to do. And you know, one of the things you brought up is not going out to the house without a commitment that they're going to list. And so in the beginning, when, you know, that was a big hill to climb in the beginning. And there were some real rough spots. Cause when, you know, you got to be terrible in order to be good. If you're not willing to be terrible, you're not going to get great at anything. And so she had to be willing to do things that she had never done before. And, you know, that's not an easy conversation. What do you mean you don't want to come out to the house? What are you talking about?
Everybody else is. How can you not?
Right. And you know, another thing that you brought up, you know, when someone refuses to be a victim, that can bring out predator behavior. And Danielle started running into that. And when you don't know where that's coming from in the beginning, right, you don't have a frame of reference and someone beginning to attack you, that doesn't feel any good. And you know, and she's checking herself. Is it me? Is it my tone? Is it what I'm saying? You know, why am I getting that reaction? And so, and Danielle can get into it more. So in the beginning, like that was a big mountain to climb. And now it's about how can I get the call down to 10 minutes or less? That's what it, how can I determine whether I'm the fool or the favorite? I don't care which one I am. How can I determine within 10 minutes? You know, it started out with, you know, 40 minutes, then 30 minutes.
Hour and a half.
Yeah. I mean, the Zoom call, you know, and now it's like the conversation is, how can we just find out now, fool or favorite, and be done with it? And but, you know, this has been over a 3-4 year period of time of trial and error and trial and error. And, you know, one of the things that I think I said to Danielle up front that really helped her, and I use the analogy with Tiger Woods. When Tiger Woods won his first Masters tournament by 14 strokes, you know, young kid, early 20s, beat the world of best golfers by a million, he went to his golf coach and said, I don't like my swing. I'm winning, but I'm not in love with my swing, and decided to retool his whole swing. And it took him 1 year, Now this is Tiger Woods. This is a guy practicing every day. Took him 1 year to hit the ball once the way he had envisioned he wanted his swing to be. And then it took him another 6 months to groove in that swing. Well, in that 18-month period of time, he didn't win any golf tournaments. And the press was on him, and everyone was on him. Tiger Woods, flash in the pan. What happened to Tiger? After he got that new swing grooved in, he won 10 of the next 14 tournaments. And I shared that with Danielle, that you may take a dip in performance in order to experience a real spurt in growth. And you can comment, Danielle, I think that allowed her to relax into this space of it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And no more, I'd be okay with no more blood money and no more, you know, and a potential dip in performance in order to come out on the other side with something I would be really excited about. It has been an insane journey I've been hung up on and yelled at, and everything you can think of. Did we lose you guys?
No, I'm still here. I'm sitting here with my mouth open in admiration.
But because, you know, here's what I'm up against, is when I'm a top agent in my geographic area, and I have strong digital marketing skills, and I've really embraced social proof through online reviews from going a long time back, pre-Yelp days. And so I get a lot of calls from the internet, and sometimes they're my people and they've become wonderful clients. But a lot of times they have someone in mind, and often that person has less experience, and often they don't do as good of a marketing job. And for what, they don't have the same track record. And so the people are, you know, wanting to double check that. And so they want to do their due diligence. And so the obvious choice to do that with are the experts that you can find online, that in any, you know, any field, but specifically for real estate agents. And so I get a lot of those calls. And at the end of the day, they end up wanting to go with the person who has less experience and less negotiation ability, less marketing prowess, because of the relationship, you know, because of some sort of connection or something that they have with them that makes them feel comfortable with them, that they were comfortable from the beginning, and they're just double checking. And so now I'm at this point where what I want to do is actually tell people that. And that's where I'm playing with now, is just saying, you know, here's what we're looking at. Like, here's what often happens, and see if I can just get to the truth. Because if that's what you want, I'm happy to answer your questions for a few minutes and give you that second opinion you need. But it's kind of like a doctor or a lawyer, when you go get a second opinion, like, you'll get 15 minutes of someone's time potentially for free, but then that's it. You have to hire me to get the full strategy and the full technique. And that's where I'm prioritizing my time, is for the people who are hiring me, so that they can get that expert. That, I don't know, that kind of, we were rambling, but.
No, that was cool. I mean, you had so many cool things there. Which is exactly what, when people get to the level where you're at, you know, we got a new phrase construct that we're thinking about now called Shu, Ha, and Ri, which is martial arts vernacular. When you're in Shu, you're a beginner, just do what the master says. You know, do what Steve tells you to do, say it the way Steve tells you to say it, word for word. Don't think about it.
Yeah.
And then you start to get your repetitions in a little bit. And you know, maybe there'd be a chaotic period of time where you feel very unsure, you feel awkward. Maybe you're getting weird responses. Maybe you're getting hung up on. Maybe you're getting yelled at. But then when you get into high, you're beginning, the middle range, you're beginning to develop your own rhythm. you're beginning to see what other quote masters say and the elements of what they say and how that fits into your thinking now. And you're seeing things, stuff coming at you. And then in re, the expert level, and by the way, all these skills are perishable. I mean, like golf, you don't keep playing, you're going to fall back down off the mountain.
Okay.
In re, you're making up your own rules and you're trying new things and you're taking, you're probably advancing the thinking. And that's exactly where you are now by mm-hmm. saying, like, if I know this is going on and I know how to tell people honestly with integrity without hurting their feelings, let me see what happens if I just tell them, look, I know you're looking for due diligence. I know you got a favorite. You know, you're a human being. So no matter what the fact, logic, and reason says, you're still going to make a bad decision, which is go with your favorite instead of me. But, you know, give you a taste of what a top agent can really do for you if you ever change your mind, which then the last impression is a lasting impression. You're going to convert them down the line because you're a top agent for good reason. They're going with someone with lesser skills and abilities than you, which means that's a one and done deal for them. But you've left a great last impression on them in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. Which if they're ever going to come around, that's the highest percentage chance of them coming around.
Yeah.
And then the other, well, I'll let you respond to that and then I'll bring the other thing up I was going to bring up.
I was just going to jump in. One of the conversations that we have a lot with Danielle is how to exit gracefully, That is the conversation that we're working on all the time, how to exit gracefully. Cause she's getting really good at finding out she's the fool. And so it's, how can we get off the phone gracefully as quickly as possible?
Is it a bad thing to admit that I would like to be the favorite? It's just the reality is that I'm not the favorite every time. And like you said, from your research, is it wrong that you said that it was 80% potentially or 1 in 5?
People that are actually implementing the concept of proof of life or favorite of the fool is finding that they're the fool in the game as much as 80% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. And if you start looking at human decision-making, any surveys out there of human decision-making really line up with their mind is closed before they go to the person that they're going to buy from. They've already made up their mind. And as like Steve says, if you're a top agent, you are due diligence.
Because that's who they're going to. Wide open.
What's that?
But they all tell me the field is wide open when we talk about this.
Well, you know, and that's the other thing that's hard for people to embrace, because if you're being played for a fool, mm-hmm. as we teach it, that sort of imputes or implies an intentional dishonesty on the other side. And the vast majority of it is not intentional. They're playing you for the fool and they genuinely don't know that they are.
Right.
And so if you can take that out of the equation, then it's easier to embrace.
And the thing that we picked up on yesterday that we talked about on the call this week is this pattern of when the client's overly effusive about what a great job you do and how you're so wonderful and your marketing's so great and all that, but they're not hiring you. Now we're recognizing that's a giveaway. You are the fool. And they're just trying to make themselves feel better by, you know, telling you how great you are.
And flattery is used because it works.
Right.
And if they want to flatter you into giving away the store, it works on other people. Why not try it on you, right?
And they try. Danielle can, you know, they want their information. They'll do whatever they can to get it out of you.
Very true. I lost track of what we were wanting to talk about.
Yeah, because we're all over the place here because there's so much to the concept.
There's so much to talk about.
One thing we do want to touch on is commission. And Danielle has, she charges a full fee, 6%. She keeps 3.5%. And it's virtually 100% of the time, or is 100% of the time?
When I'm in control of it, it's 100% of the time.
I like the way she says that because she's so calm and she's so quiet. And she reminds me so much of Laura Grenier. Like, you know, you're going to do this my way eventually. So you might as well just do it my way now.
So true.
Well, one of my favorite expressions is the let them have your way.
Yep. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So what did you want to talk about when it comes to commission?
Well, just pointing out that you are sticking to that standard. In life, we adjust to the standards that we set, and you're adjusting your business up to that standard of 6%. Most agents are adjusting their business down to a lower fee. And therefore, and you talked about this, you know, yesterday, you know, it's the whole blood money conversation. And then you're resentful.
Yeah.
Resentful.
Well, I mean, is there really anything more rewarding than when your client says to you, you know, I know I paid you a premium and you were worth every penny and I'm so happy I did. I mean, that's the conversation that happens at the end. And it's not always about the sales price. I mean, I think COVID was a big, this was really interesting to me. It's a bit of a tangent, but some of the feedback I got last year, a couple of the reviews I got and the conversations that led to that, you know, precursors of them actually writing out the testimonial, these were not easy sales. And these were sales where the seller was, the market value had cratered and they were selling for less than they had paid for it. You know, that was what the market data was expressing. And when you have that kind of situation and your client hires you because they really want the expert to steward them and they know they're going to be losing money, but they want to lose the least amount that they can possibly lose. And they hire you and they pay your full fee. And at the end of the day, they say, you know, I really feel like I did the best I could. And I really feel like you were transparent with me and you didn't tell me things that weren't true and lead to disappointment and lead to wasted time, and time is money. I mean, that kind of conversation, it was like, wow, you know, that's how I know that I'm on the right path. And I love it. I mean, it's very easy when you're in a booming market and you just, you know, everything would sells quickly and sells over the asking price. And so those sellers still have to think like, there's still plenty of opportunity to leave money on the table and not earn as much. And there's a big difference between people who know how to value themselves and know how to walk the line and not push it too far that it breaks, but also not sit there scared to push it all to maximize, like, you know, the value.
That's beautiful. And that's so true. Yeah. Yeah. There's still plenty of opportunity to leave money on the table.
There is.
Nicely said.
It's easy to think about it as an upfront savings and miss the big picture and not be the oracle.
Yeah. Good for you. All right. I love where we are. I love this. Go ahead.
Sorry, if you're wrapping, sounds like you're wrapping up. Do you mind if I say something?
I'd love it.
You guys have both really reinvigorated my career and my life. And I know I'm doing better work. I know I'm healthier. I know I'm more satisfied, and I might still be in, you know, somewhat of that retooling big bang period, but I'm having more fun. And I just have a huge debt of gratitude and really enjoying the journey, and wanted to say thank you.
Wow. Wow. That's wonderful to hear. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. I'm not gonna knock talk it to anybody for the rest of the day, just so I can savor that.
Good. Watch some Netflix.
I'll go watch Netflix. Steve, final thoughts, brother?
I would just say to anyone watching this, connect with what Danielle is doing. You know, what she's doing, you can do. And I think the biggest thing, and Danielle just shared, is she's happier. She's happier. She's having more fun. This is a great challenge to take on. This is worthy. This is really advancing things. And as she mentioned, it's so much more authentic to who she is and who anyone is who's watching this. You know, nobody wants to chase. Nobody wants to convince. Nobody wants to close. You just think you have to do those things. You don't. You don't. There is a way where you can be a human being, where your humanity, where your vulnerability, where you can be transparent and still be great at what you do. It's a win-win all the way around.
Amen.